Today, I want to remind us that our Savior is not generic. Jesus is a Jew, the promised son of David, who fulfilled the prophecies of Israel so that every nation could know the one true King. Jesus, the Jewish King who fulfills every promise. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, I hope you are enjoying your day today. We're going to dive into God's Word in just a few moments. We are talking about Israel, the church, and God's sovereignty. That's our series right now. So if you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app and put it into your huddle. It really does help us get the word out there. Also, if you're a financial partner of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your monthly support. We greatly appreciate it. Hey, what's our goal on this daily devotion? It's to change our hearts so that we change the public square. And when you think about how we handle our heart, the issue of the heart, it is so important because out of the heart flows our words, flows our actions, flows our interactions, flows everything. And so we need to change our heart, and that in turn will change the public square. And how do we change our heart? We are renewed in our minds by the Word of God. So I want to encourage you, open up your Bibles if you're not driving. If you are driving, well, then just listen, and I'll try to read it the best that I can. So today we're going to talk about Israel, the church, and God's sovereignty. And we want to, at the end of the day here, exalt Christ as Messiah who came through Israel. And does that fact that Jesus is Israel's Messiah deepen your gratitude for God's plan of salvation? So let's read our verses for today. I'm telling you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. This is Paul. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption of sons, the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises, whose are the fathers. Now here's our verse. And from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So this last little part of the verse, and for from whom is the Christ, in other words, Jesus, from his fellow Israelites, who is according to the flesh, in other words, we're talking about Jesus's humanity, who is over all, and God blessed forever. So let's think about the humanity of Jesus for just a moment. We believe that he's fully God and fully man. So in Matthew, we're going to look at the genealogy of Jesus. And Matthew is tracing Jesus's genealogy through the lineage of Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 2, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Now skipping down to verse 16, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation of Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation of Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. What Matthew is doing here is he's in Matthew 1 through 17, he runs from Abraham, David, Solomon's royal line, Joseph, and Jesus. Okay, so he's proving through genealogy that Jesus is a Jew and Jesus is the Messiah through the bloodline of David. Incredibly important. It's very hard if you are a Christian to somehow say, hey, Jews have no place. Jews have no authority, you know, not authority, what's the word? Have no place in my theology. And understand, Jesus is a Jew. I don't know. Anti-Semitic behavior should not be found in the church, nor should it be found in any aspect of our culture. And really, hatred towards any people group should not. So this shows Jesus' legal right to David's throne through Joseph, his recognized father in Jewish law, even though the virgin's birth means Joseph was not his biological father. So remember, Mary's virgin birth removed the seed of Adam, you might say. And so Matthew is especially concerned with Jesus as the Davidic king. So he uses Joseph's royal line through Solomon. Now, let's look at the genealogy of what Luke records. And some believe that this is looking at Mary's side of things. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23, when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years old of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph and the son of Eli. So skipping to verse 31, the son of Mila, the son of Mina, the son of Matthiah, the son of Nathan, the son of David. Skipping to verse 34, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. Skipping to verse 38, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So what Luke is doing is he's going from Luke 3, 23 through 38. He runs backwards from Jesus, Joseph, David, Nathan, a different son of David, then all the back to Adam. So he is also showing through Mary the biological line so that Jesus' bloodline would come from David. And you say, well, why is that so important? Why is it important that our Messiah come from the bloodline of David? Well, because it's prophesied throughout all of the Old Testament. Jesus would come from Abraham and Sarah, not from Abraham and Hagar. And so watch as we build this out. We're going to go a little bit in depth today. Some of you may feel like we go in depth every day, but I want you to be grounded in the Word of God and understand that first and foremost, Abraham was the father of faith, and he was given a covenant, and that is an everlasting covenant that would end up at David, that would end up at Jesus, that now comes to us as well. And so God has a chosen nation, and God has his bride, okay? And this is, as Christians, we have Jewish roots, plain and simple. Okay, the new covenant does not take away that Jesus is a Jew. When you get to heaven, you're going to find out Jesus is a Jew. All right, so, but God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So what type of covenant is this? It's an everlasting covenant. Now think about this. When you think about Abraham tried to do it through Hagar and Ishmael, and God said, no, 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 no. It's going to come through Sarah. Like I said, I'm going to do a miraculous work through Sarah and through Sarah's womb. So we have this promise, and it's an everlasting promise. And Jesus is from the line of Abraham. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. So this is after Abraham was willing to offer up his son Isaac. And he said, all the nations are going to be blessed in your seed. So we know that the Messiah, Jesus, is going to come through, or did come through, Abraham's lineage. So we read that in Matthew and Luke. All right, so the Bible in the Old Testament prophesies that Jesus the Messiah would be a Judean king. The scepter, in other words, the kingship, shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall the obedience of the people. So we know that one thing is that Jesus came through the Judean lineage, okay? Jesus, the king, will be from the line of David. Let's read this scripture. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. Okay, speaking of Solomon, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. How long? Forever. Solomon's kingdom. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with my rod of man and the strokes of the sons of men, but my loving kindness shall not depart from him. As I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. So David's house, David's kingdom shall endure forever. Your throne shall be established forever. This is why David to Solomon and this whole concept of Jesus being from the bloodline of David is so incredibly important. We have scriptures like this in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16 that says that David's kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. Okay? So, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. So we see some stuff about Israel. Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name by which the Lord our righteousness. So Jesus is that Lord, the Lord our righteousness. And that it comes from Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. Let's read another scripture. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David, on the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Isaiah 9:6-7. So we see that the Messiah, Jesus, would come from the bloodline of David, and that David's covenant with God is an everlasting covenant. So just roughly, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, skipping Moses, skipping to David. Do you see these lines that are so incredibly important? And Jesus is an Israelite, a Judean from the bloodline of the King of David. All right, so not only that, but we have in the Old Testament where Jesus is predicted to be from Bethlehem in Judah. But as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So what does it say about Bethlehem? Too little to be among the clans of Judah, that there would be a king. Is it say king? A ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. Speaking of Jesus. Now, where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. This is Micah 5:2. So hundreds of years prior to Jesus' being born, it was prophesied that he would be in Bethlehem. So Jesus would be the servant of Israel, the light to the nations. Behold, my servant whom I behold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burned wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlines will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will uphold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Isaiah 42:1-7. So, we know that Jesus quotes this at the beginning of his ministry, at least part of it. But Jesus is a light to the nations. So we've learned so far, Jesus is an Israelite. Jesus has a Judean background, and he is walking as King and as Lord. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. So we see here, for salvation is from the Jews. So what's our public square application? Jesus is a Jew. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. And that no man goes to the Father except through Jesus. My hope is that you enter into the public square today in such a way that you remember these very facts about Jesus, his life, who he is, that we would not somehow misplace the recognition that God has a nation, the nation of Israel. God has a bride. It's his church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we do pray that you would go before us today, surrounding us in all things. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. They are new every morning. God, we thank you that Jesus fulfilled every single prophecy. I've heard some say it's around 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. And I thank you that he fulfilled each and every one, that you had a God-ordained plan. Your foreknowledge is unwavering. It is, you are able to see beyond what we could ever dream of or imagine. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray over Israel that you would continue to call them to repentance, to the knowledge of the Messiah, and that God, that veil that has blinded them temporarily will be lifted, and that there will be revival among the Jewish people. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.